This test. Okay, good morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 25. We're in the home stretch here. Leviticus chapter 25. The Lord then spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, 'When you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year. And all of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food, yourself and your male and female slaves, and your hired man and your foreign resident, those who live as aliens with you. Even your cattle and the animals that are in your land, you shall have all its crops to eat. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, so that you have time of the 7th Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. On this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. If you make a sale, moreover, to your friend, or buy from your friend's hand, you shall not wrong one another. Corresponding to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your friend. He is to sell to you according to the number of years of crops. In proportion to the extent of the years, you shall increase its price, and in proportion to the fewness of the years, you shall diminish its price, or it is a number of crops he is selling to you. So you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord your God. You shall thus observe my statutes and keep my judgments so as to carry them out, that you may live securely on the land. Then the land will yield its produce so that you can eat your fill and live securely on it. But if you say, 'What are we going to eat on the seventh year if we do not sow or gather in our crops?' Then I will so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that I will bring you the crop for 3 years. Then, when you are sowing the eighth year, you can still eat old things from the crop, eating the old until the ninth year when its crop comes in. The land, moreover, should not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Thus, for every piece of your property, you are to provide for the redemption of the land. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor that he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. Or in a case of a man has no kinsman, but so recovers his means as to find sufficient for its redemption, then he shall calculate the years since its sale and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and so return to his property. But if he has not found found sufficient means to get it back for himself, then what he has sold shall remain in the hands of its purchaser until the year of Jubilee. But at the Jubilee it shall revert, that he may return to his property. Likewise, if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then his redemption right remains valid until the full year from its sale. His right of redemption lasts a full year. But if it is not bought back for him within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city passes permanently to its purchaser. Throughout his generations, it does not revert in the Jubilee. The houses of the villages, however, which have no surrounding wall, shall be considered as open fields. They have redemption rights and revert in the Jubilee. As for cities of the Levites have a permanent right of redemption for the houses of the cities which are their possession. What therefore belongs to the Levites may be redeemed, and a house sale in the city of his possession reverts in the Jubilee. For the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the sons of Israel. But pasture fields of their cities shall not be sold, for that is their perpetual possession. Now, in case a countryman of yours becomes poor and his means with regard to you falter, then you are to sustain him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Do not take usurious interest from him, but revere your God, that your countrymen may live with you. You should not give him your silver at interest, nor your food for gain. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and to give you the land of Canaan to be your and to be your God. And if a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to you that he sells himself to you, he shall not subject him to a slave service. He shall be with you as a hired man, as if he were a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. He shall then go out from you, he and his sons with him, and shall go back to his family, and he may return to the property of his forefathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They are not to be sold in a slave sale. You shall not rule over him with severity, but are to revere your God. As for your male and female slaves whom you may have, you may acquire male and female slaves from the pagan nations that are around you. Then, too, it is out of the sons of the sojourners who live as aliens among you that you may gain acquisition, and out of their families who are with you, whom they will have produced in your land, they will also may become your possession. You may even bequeath them to your sons after you to receive as a possession. You can use them as permanent slaves, but in respect to your countrymen, the sons of Israel, you should not rule with severity over one another. Now, if the means of a stranger or of a sojourner with you becomes sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or to the descendants of a sojourner's family, then he shall have redemption right after he has been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or one of the blood relatives from his family may redeem him, or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. He then, when his with his purchaser, shall calculate from the year when he has sold himself to him up to the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall correspond to the number of years. It is like the days of a hired man that he shall be with him. If there are still many years, he shall refund part of the purchase price in proportion to them for his own redemption. And if years remain until the year of Jubilee, he shall so calculate with him in proportion to his years. He is to refund the amount for his redemption. Like a man hired year by year, he shall be with him. He shall not rule over him with severity in your sight. Even if he is not redeemed by these means, he shall still go out in the year of Jubilee, he and his sons with him. For the sons of Israel are my servants. They are my servants whom I brought out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Okay, amen. So now we get to the year of Sabbath, the seventh year, and then gets into the year of Jubilee. So I'll talk about the first one first. So after the 6 years, there's a seventh year, and it's the Sabbath. And as a part of this, now he's saying that all the land that you have, you're not to grow anything in the land. In other words, you're not to work this land. So just like a man has a Sabbath rest every 7 days, the land every 7 years will also have a rest. But in this land, in other words, you're not supposed to work the land. You totally let the land rest. But even in the land, when it's resting, it's still going to grow crops. It's not going to be, it's not going to be intentional farming, but it's going to be God who just brings crops up, usually from seed that's been scattered or different means. And God says that, listen, I'm going to provide for you. And in fact, if you're going to freak out and say, oh, what's going to happen? We're entering to the Sabbath year's rest of the land. And he says, listen, on the sixth year, I'm going to command a blessing that you're actually going to have enough crops for 3 years going forward. And so remember, so there's the year of rest, and then there's the year of working the ground, and then it would be a year of harvest. So they need to sustain themselves for these years. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the land so much, you won't have to worry about this. And so the reality, friends, is that this is not just writing on paper. Throughout the history of the Israelites, they kept a Sabbath rest, the seventh year rest for their crops, for their land. Now, there's no way they do this unless God provides for them supernaturally. Do you know what I mean? I mean, so you can imagine your Israelite, okay, Lord, we're grateful that you brought us out of Egypt and we're coming into the promised land. All right, We're going to do it the first year, right? So we do 6 years, and then seventh year, the Sabbath comes, and like there's no food. What do you think the Israelites are going to do? All right, they're going to go back. They're going to plan. They're going to go back to, all right, let's work the seventh year. Right, let's work it and let's make sure that this happens. That's not the case. God, throughout history, has abundantly provided for his people. And so, even before I get to Jubilee, so when you think about this, it's really about, it's two things, okay? One, human side, it's about the ability of man to trust God. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, you have a farm, you have kids, mouths to feed, and it's for you to say, you know what, I'm just going to really trust you, Lord. God, I'm really putting myself out there. I'm really going to trust that I'm not going to work this land during this time, but I'm going to trust that you're going to provide and you're going to take care of. So that's one side. I'll talk about that more in a moment. The other side, too, is really the bountifulness of God's provision. Even though the people of Israel, they basically won't have food for 2 years, right, during this time, and yet God supernaturally provides for Israel these 2 years. Isn't that amazing? Throughout history. I mean, you could read certain passages in the scriptures. Isaiah makes note of this, 2 Kings also makes note of this supernatural provision as he tells his prophets and his kings, really about this year of Sabbath. And so now let's bring that home for us here. In that same way, some of you guys work, okay? Some of you guys are, I know you're pressed in with time and whatnot. And then for you to say to your boss or your company, you know what? I need a Sabbath rest. It's my right, really, as a citizen. I don't know if that's the case in Hong Kong, but in the United States, you know, because of religious purposes, they can't make you work on specific days. And so it's a right. And so then conventional wisdom says, well, man, you're not going to get a promotion. You know, you're not going to get a raise. You're not going to advance. You're not going to get that bonus. You're not going to do all these things, right? And, you know, quite honestly, I mean, let's just bring it really down home to earth. You are trusting more in your own abilities. You are trusting more in your own presence. In other words, just being there instead of what God can do in your absence. So there's your part, and God does his part. I mean, you know, brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how many times I've seen Christians that really, just really lay it on the line, what their beliefs are. And out of that place, man, God just blesses. And I mean, this doesn't just deal with Sabbath. I mean, this deals with our time. This deals with our giving, you know, tithing and offerings and whatnot. That you decide to trust God, which seems anti-conventional wisdom, and God just blesses. It deals with your values and your morals. One of our brothers told me this story about one of the lawyers in his firm. And he was he has this firm conviction about drinking. And so he just won't. He just is so convicted by that, you know, and he's working and living in Korea. And so the Samsung, they just close a deal, and so they have a group dinner together. And in this group dinner, one of the high-ranking officials in Samsung goes around to every, you know, Samsung employee and employee at the law firm, you know, and they close this deal, and he's, you know, they're drinking whiskey, right, you know, the Korean soju. And so he goes to each one, and you know, they kind of do their thing, and he gets to this, and he's kind of like a mid-level a lawyer in his firm, and the guy goes to him, and he goes, "No, I'm not going to do this." And the guy's all, you know, this boss who's used to getting his way all the time, "What?" And he says, "No, I'm not going to do it." And so, you know, "I appreciate it, but you know, I don't drink." And the guy gets so incensed at this dinner, he basically takes all of his Samsung guys. They leave the room. He furiously leaves. He tells the big bosses of this law firm, you need to fire this guy. You know, he's disrespectful, blah, 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 all these things. And so apparently this guy's a pretty famous guy. You know, I'm a pretty bold guy, especially, you know, dealing with Korean culture and these type of things, and especially Korean work culture. And guess what? He's still at the same law firm. He's still doing well, right? God's just blessed him. You know, he has morals. He has values that he's not going to let it slip to the side purely for financial gain or saving face or, you know, any of these things. And, man, you know, for me, it's like respect, man. I mean, serious respect in so many ways, because how many Christians, I mean, do we hear in the marketplace that just succumb, you know, over and over again? You know, I'm reminded of our brother Chris in Beijing, you know, who works in a you know, prestigious law firm. And when he joined his firm, you know, he told his bosses and his people, he says, listen, you know, Monday through Saturday, man, I'm going to work like a dog, okay? I'm going to get everything you want done. I'm going to work hard. You don't have to worry about that. But he said, on Sunday is my Sabbath. I go to church with my family. I serve the Lord. And so, you know, I'm not going to work on Sunday. Is this okay with you? And I mean, you know, really, what are his Jewish bosses going to say, right? Regardless if they're religious or not. But it's that conviction of heart. And it's really the same thing that we're talking about here, about the Sabbath rest. Who are you really trusting? Who are you really trusting in your work? Who are you really trusting for promotion? Who are you really trusting for advancement, right? To, you know, to provide for your families. And I hear that all the time, right? So yeah, oh yeah, I got to go out. I got to go drinking with my clients, and I got to do these things. You know, totally go against my own morals and whatnot. But I need to do this to provide for my family. BS, BS, man. Right? That's just a load of crap. You know, it's you basically have chosen the easy way, right, instead of the narrow way that the Lord asks us to walk in. I mean, who are you really trusting? Are you really trusting yourself and the consumption of alcohol and, you know, and even, you know, going into even, you know, deeper straits of going to room salons and prostitution and all those things? Is that really what's going to close the deal? Or are you really trusting in the Lord for your sustenance in your life? That's what these Israelites had to deal with every 6 years. Is they come to this place as an agricultural society and say, all right, we're not going to work the land, and God's going to provide for us. And like I said, I mean, this would have stopped the first 7th year if God didn't provide bountifully for them. And then God says, okay, so then the 7th time, right, so 7 times 7, 49, and then on the 50th year, we're going to have what's called a jubilee. And jubilee is just the Hebrew word for horn or trumpet. And so when he says here, on the last day, or on the 10th day, and on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn through all the land. This is jubilee, and you will announce that you shall consecrate the 50th year. This is verse 10. Proclaim a release. The word there is actually liberty. You shall proclaim liberty through all the land and its inhabitants, and it shall be a jubilee for you. It's a sound, it's a horn, it's triumphant, and it shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. And you shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed. This is still dealing with the 7th year of the 6th. The land will rest on it. And he says, now, not only will the land rest, but everyone, all the debts will be canceled. Everyone's going to go back to their own families. Sons of yours are going to join you again. And it's kind of a reordering that happens. The year of Jubilee it doesn't do what Christ did for us justice, but it gives us a little picture of when Christ comes to us, that this is Jubilee. I mean, it's just a small picture of this, that that the Israelites would have practiced every 50 years. And it's, again, it would seem like, wow, that's really unfair. I mean, can you imagine if you are a landowner and you just bought something from someone, and then 2 years later is Jubilee, you have to give it back? Well, the rest of this chapter really deals with the fairness, and he just doesn't, you know, God is very just. And so he gives very good rules about how to administer specifically during those times, you know, when there's a few years left and whatnot, so that it's fair for everybody. So it's not just, you know, so the Israelites not thinking, all right, I'm going to run up debt like you wouldn't believe. You know, I'm just going to keep running up debt because I know in the 50th year, I'm relieved of my debt. No, God didn't say no. That's not the right attitude by which you go through this. And there is a redemption, but there also is a payment that takes place. And so that's basically the rest of the whole chapter. You know, we just took a long time reading, you know, all these things. And that's really what they're talking about is this law of redemption. It's the law of redeeming a poor man. And whatnot. It's really dealing with the fairness. And notice each time when the Lord begins to address them and basically say, well, if you think this is not fair or whatnot, remember, I'm the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt into the land flowing milk and honey. And so basically what the Lord is saying, and this is a really good reminder for all of us, is that the Lord is our God. He is our master. And so we obey and follow what he says. He's the one that's able to bring up and take down. And so it's again, just putting all of our trust, putting all of our faith in God, who's going to take care of us. And again, I mean, God so wonderfully took care of Israel all through this time that they held the year of Jubilee. This is pretty amazing. God was very faithful to his words. There wasn't any unfairness in the division of land and you know, and all these things. And God was just very able to really deal with his people in such a wonderful, incredible way. Okay? Amen? So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Let's talk about our work for a moment. Are you trusting in yourself? Or are you really trusting in God? As it pertains to Sabbath, as it pertains to giving, as it pertains to your time. I mean, let's meditate and let's examine. Who are you really trusting for your livelihood? Your effort, your presence there, or the Lord? Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning.
How deep the Father.
Let's put our work, our jobs at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Let's just pronounce once again that He is Lord. That He is the Lord our God. He brought us, maybe us not out of Egypt, out of the slavery of Egypt, but He brought us out of the slavery of sin and death. And because He is our God, let's trust Him. Let's place our work at the table of offering. And let's give it back to Him where it belongs. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask God's hand to be with our friends and family members that are battling with cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that is battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for that word of healing and that word of salvation.